到了高山农村去的，当他把钱币给予现金，现金的点把钱现的呢，给予现金的给伢呢，他把钱币去呢，咋把他捡起来，拿去人把这个做垫钱呢，垫把小些莫能捡的，的那个呢，的那个垫把拿现金，那个叔叔奶奶给你们来要不接土个小些些，那莫能捡把第一个人这个卡上，啊呢，的那些那的你们这边搞不了样子，的那样子给予现金呢。DB 做过当，的那个王都那边马主啊，学什么那么家的，是，我第一个学呀当，的那个是什么当年的这个年龄也得了什么当那过呀，这写着的，还算第一个学些。
Good morning. So yesterday we are looking at the need to rely on an authentic, a genuine Mahayana spiritual friend, and the prayers that were being expressed.Were to meet such a teacher, such a fully qualified teacher, recognize him as such, and rely on him in the appropriate manner. Also that one can achieve one's heartfelt wish, which is to achieve the state of enlightenment in order to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. And moreover, the prayers were expressed.That one doesn't come under the influence of false teachers or misleading friends, those that can direct one away from the correct views, and those that steer one towards non-virtuous behavior. So this, in brief, is what we looked at yesterday. Today we continue in the text, and the text here now brings about prayer that whilst now that having come under the care of a Mahayana spiritual teacher, that to fulfill the purpose of this relationship, which is to hear teachings, to reflect or contemplate on those teachings, and then eventually to be able to meditate on these teachings. May we strive with great joy and great effort to ensure that we accomplish the final goal. This is then the 11th verse. With sail hoisted of the sincerest of minds, driven by winds of unflagging efforts, on this well-built ship of study, reflection, and meditation, may I bring living beings from samsara's ocean. This verse then presents an analogy. Wanting to cross a vast ocean, one needs to have the appropriate conditions, have acquired the relevant causes. For one would need a boat, and not just a vessel that one can sit in, but it would need to have a large, faultless sail, not some raggedy old sail full of holes. And that though, as sailors would know, is not enough. If one is becalmed on the ocean, one is going nowhere. One needs a strong wind behind one.
Samba,
In this analogy, then what is the meaning of the boat, of the sail, and of the wind? The boat then is the practices of study, reflection, and meditation, or hearing teachings, contemplating them, and meditating on them. So that is the vessel that is required to cross this vast ocean. And in order to be able to have the sufficient power to cross the ocean, a sail is required. And the sail the sail represents the motivation. And the motivation we have in the verse expressed as the sincerest of minds. So this is the same Tibetan term that was translated in our first verse as the purest of minds. And it refers to, and it is literally the altruistic mind, or the mind of bodhicitta. So the motivation that is required to drive this boat across the ocean is the mind of bodhicitta, this wish to arise as a Buddha, to achieve the state of enlightenment, in order to be able to guide all sentient beings in the development of those same minds within themselves, and achieve the state of Buddhahood themselves as well. So the sail then is the mind of bodhicitta. And for the sail to be able to take the ship across, or the boat across the ocean quickly, wind is required. And the wind here represents the mind of joyous perseverance, a mind that takes delight in engaging in virtue, not sporadically, but repeatedly over a sustained period. So with the absence of laziness, with laziness overcome, with a mind that takes delight in the pursuit of virtue, then one strives for this, to accomplish the goals of liberation and enlightenment. So that is the meaning of the prayer that is being expressed in this 11th
verse.
Looking at the first line here, with sail hoisted of the sincerest of minds. So this then refers with the sail that's being hoisted, we mentioned, is the motivation. And then the sincerest of minds, the sail is what represents the motivation, and the motivation is the sincerest of minds. And the usual translation, the less poetic translation, would be the mind of altruism or the mind of bodhicitta. And so here we are being encouraged, right at the outset of this verse, to be aware of our motivation, to establish this motivation at the outset of whatever practice we engage in, because it is that motivation which will determine the karmic result that will follow from whatever virtuous action we engage in. So if one engages in any virtuous action, whether it is, say, generosity or ethical conduct or patience, etc., if one engages in that action with a motivation to ensure that one doesn't fall into the lower realms but attains a good rebirth, then that action will lead to the accumulation of the cause that leads merely to a good rebirth in the future life. But if one engages in that same action, again, whether it's ethical conduct or generosity, patience, choice, perseverance, concentration, or wisdom, any virtuous conduct, but does so with a motivation, having seen that psychic existence is pervaded by suffering and there's no peace or happiness worthy of striving for within samsara because nothing is stable or lasting, and with this motivation of wanting to achieve liberation from suffering, one engages in that self-same action, it creates the cause for liberation from suffering. But again, if one has generated the actual motivation that is expressed here by the sincerest of minds, that motivation of bodhicitta, if one has generated this motivation, then that self-same action, motivated now by a very different mind, leads to the great, great result of the attainment of enlightenment. Hence, right at the outset of this verse then, one's attention is drawn to the need to cultivate the appropriate motivation. And the appropriate motivation is the mind of the altruistic mind. This mind that sees firstly that on a level of great meaning or in a significant way, we cannot point to a difference between ourselves and others. Ignoring the differences that are superficial, in a deep way, there's no difference between ourselves and any other being in that we all have the same innermost wish of happiness and to avoid suffering. Whatever we observe in the world is motivated by this wish for happiness. So using this then as a basis, we could generate minds of love and compassion and special intention and bodhicitta. So that is the sincerest of motivations or sincerest of minds, which is symbolized in the analogy by the sail which is hoisted.
And then it does some damage to other Jahu do somebody, some gent to do other Jana show or somebody, some gent to the other Denver show or said. It's not some gentleman to the other Denbala, some gentleman to the other Judy Carelanda, Judy, Chimba students have a passion to win Yamna Jehua. It's not good Yamna passion to win Yamna the Denver show or say other. That some gentleman to do other Jawa show or say, do other Tala, then do you do yourself, you know what you have on good job. Some gentleman, Yomoba Savona Jeba Jahudo. Did Java the Nay Jigin Sibida? Did Ma Mel Swedding Hate to Chiche, Conto Mel Swigin, the Fountain Sampig, the Nay Jigin Sabata. That same gentleman Jilla, there was the Dangudo. There was the Dembala, the you person to win Yamlin the Dangudos. It's not the person to win Yamlin the Nay Dember Chigin, Condolia, Nay to Chiche, Condolia, the Chigin, Chesa, same gentleman Jawa, the you the Demba, the Nay Jigin. Some gentlemen do not 탑실 고르와다 니버 고르와 지나 다든 아주 네 지게 섬든 아주 니버 가요 말와 내 반자 네 지게 섬여도 지나 다 네 제발라 안 산지 그 가서래 컨트롤야 최대 신고고도 최뒤에 간내스 때바 간내스네 야가 여바 간내스 하우 차상지 컨트롤의 때기 뒤에 다 땡타다 땡기 최차상아 신고고도 지나 Denegi Tembala Balsi Yomo Berikti Pangudu. Sandi Pangalan, Sanji Goba Matun, Tap Minuti, Dangi, Semja Tamju Sanji Goba Topra, Chi, Sampegeta, Samoti, Kuno di Gugu, Lassam Namba, Dabi, Darsin Chas, Denegi, Semjenda, Duma Taduki Jambata, Kasetewata, and Dewa Tanduki Jamba. They are Lassam Namba, Niji in the Labi, Sampaki, Dikunil Aji Chanshu Semjiki, or the Denish Tabachimichi Yamla Jabala, Digu, as Mazadi. Digures, Jesadi, Fasan number debe, Jesan Darna, yes. Then it's Yobaina and Lungite, Pichet Ayo, Darman, Lungatilena, Pichet Ayo, Dinashita, Fasan number debe. Dajin Charles said, Najilan, the Tabachim, Yamlin Jebala, Sanjo Goma, Tobala, and Kuno, and the Fasan number Jambat Sewa, and the D Jangbege, Fasan Namda, Fasan D Jani, Gibbe, Janju Sim Gores, Jesan Janju Sim Gores, or Fasan number debe, Dajin Charles.
This term we have here, sincerest of minds, just like in our first verse when it was purest of minds. So in our general way of speaking, we talk about altruism. In our Dharma context, we'll talk about special intention. So why is this mind of special intention then being mentioned or singled out here as being of such great importance? So this mind is of great importance because without this, bodhicitta cannot be attained. Without bodhicitta, enlightenment for the sake of others cannot be attained because the wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of others, that mind of bodhicitta, will not have arisen. So how does one go about generating this most powerful of minds, and what singles it out as being so crucial for the arisal of bodhicitta? So when we observe suffering in the world, or we experience it for ourselves, compassion does arise in the sense of the compassion meaning, may beings not suffer in this way, may beings be freed of suffering. And that does arise within us already when we observe suffering, or if we suffer ourselves, we have the wish, may no being ever suffer like this. But that mind on its own lacks strength. It lacks strength to change our outlook completely. It certainly lacks the strength to change how we interact with this world. So this mind needs to be much more powerful to actually change the way we think and the way we interact with the world, leading then eventually to the cultivation of bodhicitta. So what is required is far greater strength, and that strength is expressed in the mind of special intention. Likewise with the companion mind of compassion, which is the mind of love. So this is a mind that we have. We have the wish, may all beings experience happiness. We have this. But this is not of sufficient strength that it changes the way we interact with the world and with others and how we relate to the world. So this mind of love too lacks sufficient strength. So both of these minds of compassion and altruism require to go to be developed to the level where the mind of special intention follows. And the way then to generate the mind of special intention is to develop the minds of love and compassion through reasoning, through wisdom, so that they arise on the basis of reasoning in a way that is of incredible power, in a way that is so intense and forceful within us that we take responsibility for the welfare of others. And it's this taking of responsibility for the welfare of others, that being the forefront of our motivation, that is the mind of special intention, or the altruistic attitude. And how does this then come about? So one identifies the causes of suffering, our afflicted minds in particular, the ignorance of self-grasping, and one identifies the antidote to that, the wisdom realizing emptiness. And by identifying, this means not merely to understand intellectually, but to understand in a way that transforms our way of thinking, transforms our mind. Because it's only when we see this with a clarity, with a vividness, that we will be able to transform our way of thinking. And then at that point, having identified the causes of suffering and the solution to that, we have sufficient intellectual basis to give rise to the strength of compassion, where we generate the altruistic attitude, I take responsibility to become the greatest of guides, a Buddha, so that I have the skill and the ability to help all sentient beings identify for themselves the causes of their suffering, and thereby the causes of suffering that all beings experience, as well as in the solution to that, the wisdom realizing emptiness. I take this as my responsibility. And this then is the mind of special intention. And likewise, with the mind of love, coming to understand that happiness comes through cultivating causes, comes from cultivating merit. So therefore, I need to cultivate merit, and I need to be able to guide others in how to do so, through engaging in practices such as ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and so forth. I need to do this myself, and I need to do this so as to arise as a Buddha and enable all beings to develop the causes for lasting, stable happiness. Whether beings abide in happiness or in suffering, this is my responsibility. So this is the mind of altruism, the mind of special intention. And it is this mind of taking individual responsibility for the welfare of each and every sentient being without exception that gives power, sufficient power to love and compassion to completely change our world, to completely change how we relate to others and our environment. So this is what is meant by the sincerest of attitudes. This is the sail that is of motivation that is required to drive the ship across the ocean. Looking then at our second line, driven by winds of unflagging effort. So here, from the first line, we have generated then the mind's special intention and bodhicitta. So here, one has taken on this responsibility to be of benefit to others. The minds of love and compassion were mere aspirations. Sincere as they may be, they remain at aspiration. But when special intention and then bodhicitta have arisen, here, the practitioner has committed to strive for the welfare of others. And in order for this aspiration then to fulfill its goal, then one has to make great effort over a protracted period. And this is what is referred to in the second line. Sorry, there's some feedback or something. Okay. Ah, okay. There we go. So for the goal of bodhicitta, the objective of bodhicitta to be fulfilled, great effort of a sustained period is required. So this is, I often express in my teachings as repeatedly over a sustained period. And that is what the second line is referring to. One has to abandon laziness in all its forms. The laziness that manifests as, oh, this is important, but so is this, this, and this. So the main goal can wait until tomorrow. I need to first take care of this and that. This deceitful mind of procrastination that saps us of time and energy, this we need to identify and abandon. Moreover, efforts and energy need to be applied not sporadically, but repeatedly over a sustained period. If one gives rise to aspiration to live a meaningful life and transform one's way of thinking whilst receiving teachings, if one just leaves it at that, then one has only received a virtuous imprint. But one's mind doesn't change. One needs to then engage in the meditation sessions. And if one is feeling change coming to one's mind in the meditation sessions, this is fabulous. But if it's just left at the retreat, then change will not come. One needs to continue at home. And if one does so at home next week and the week after, this is, again, it's fabulous. This is the intention. But if then that peters out because life is busy and there are many demands on one, the change that one aspires to will not be achieved. So therefore, just like for a boat to cross a vast ocean, the wind needs to be continuous. It can't be sporadic, and moreover, the wind needs to have sufficient strength, not just a mere breeze. Likewise, we need to practice repeatedly over a sustained period.
ဒီနေ့ကြီးထွေးပြေတွင်တယ်လေအချင်းမင်းတော့ရဲ့ကတွန်တော်လေရဟန်းရဲ့ရဟန်းတပင်ငါဆိုတွန်ကြီးစေတယ်ငါဆိုတွန်ကြီးကိုရှေ့ရတယ်ဒီစတွန်ကြီးကုန်တဲ့ကုန်ကတော့တွန်ကြီးဒီနေ့ရလက်ရတာဆက်ချက်ဆုံးရတာမိတော့ပါဆက်ဒီနေ့လေကြံရှုစင်ဆက်တဲ့ကနေ့ချင်းပြေပဲဆက်ဒီနေ့မအောင်ဆုံးရတဲ့ငါသူကဒီခေါ်ရုံတမတော့ဒီတွန်တာတဲ့ဆင်းမဲ့ဟာမဟုတ်တယ်တန်ငါသူကဒီသုစမ္တာ ええ、だんだんと徳を回ろう。実際でね、さ、3の単位で、何年やのその、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ずっと、ず ちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれにゃんねんじゃばらちょごごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれにゃんねんじゃばらちょごごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじねこごれちゃさでねんさんさんじごぼんとやれたぶらんじだちゃばちみちゅうにゃんねんじ
In this analogy, we've mentioned three components: the boat, the sail, and the wind. All three are required, because if one only has the two we've spoken about, this motivation of bodhicitta, which is the sail, which is then propelled by the winds of joyous perseverance, if that's all we have, the sail is just going to be a big wet cloth in the ocean, and is going to cross this ocean very, very slowly, despite there being such a motivation with joyous perseverance. So the boat is required too. And the boat represents study or hearing, reflection or contemplation, and meditation. And that's what we see in the third line, on this well-built ship of hearing, contemplation, and meditation. So why is this so essential? Because even having generated bodhicitta and it's been conjoined with the mind of joyous perseverance, the strength of the bodhicitta as well as the mind of joyous perseverance both need to continue to grow, so as to eventually the practitioner can arise as a Buddha. So therefore, even once having generated bodhicitta, the practices of hearing, reflection, and meditation need to be continued. So these are practices not just for us, but for bodhisattvas as well. And then why is this the case? So all of you here will appreciate the importance of meditation. But for meditation to actually lead to anything, one has to meditate on something. Others, what is one meditating on? What is one thinking about? And for meditation to be effective, then one needs to understand the topic well, not just merely know the name of the topic or have a vague understanding of the topic, because then only a vague result will come of thinking about it. The more one knows, the more one understands, the far greater the result will come from one's meditation. So therefore, one has to continuously hear teachings, study these teachings, This is a continuous requirement, whether one has attained the parts of a bodhisattva or aspires to these parts. One has to continuously hear teachings, and in this way, gather knowledge, come to understand the topic in ever greater detail. And in this stage of, or this part of hearing and studying, this too needs to be conjoined with the mind of joyous perseverance, because the obstacles such as laziness need to be overcome. The obstacles such as procrastination need to be overcome. So hearing too needs to be conjoined with joyous perseverance. And then the second step is that of reflection or contemplation. So just to say as an aside, in English we would generally call this reflection, call this meditation. But here in the top, the context of hearing, reflecting, and meditating, different term. So here, this conjoined or accompanying hearing, one needs to reflect on the teachings. And why is that? Because one needs to give rise to a valid cognizer, a mind that is, has a, an unmistaken understanding of the topic that one is hearing teachings on and studying. So to achieve this, merely hearing alone is insufficient. One has to think about the teachings. The literal word here is think. But the more appropriate contemplation is to reflect or contemplate. So think about the meaning of these teachings. So if one is receiving teachings on the topic of impermanence, the topic of bodhicitta, the topic of emptiness, one needs to gather the knowledge through hearing and studying, and through reflection, one needs to come to an ever greater understanding. And to come to a strength of understanding or realization where one actually gives, generates a valid cognizer in relation to the topic, this doesn't come about quickly. It requires repeated effort over a sustained period. And that with that, on the basis of hearing, one reflects repeatedly over a sustained period, one can give rise to a valid cognition. But that is the only way to give rise to a valid cognition. Through hearing and reflecting repeatedly over a sustained period, conjoined with joyous perseverance. Because joyous perseverance not only serves to ensure that we overcome obstacles of laziness, such as procrastination or a distraction to the wide variety of activities that keep us so busy, but joyous perseverance also serves to ensure that we repeatedly, over a sustained period, receive teachings and reflect on these teachings. Then, having given rise to a valid cognizer on the topic, and this valid cognizer that comes about independence on hearing and reflection, then, powered by our motivation of bodhicitta, we will not leave it at that. We will not say, oh, I know it well, it has had a powerful impact on my mind, that is sufficient. Rather, the motivation of bodhicitta, this wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of others, will push us further until we achieve enlightenment. And this is when we are ready to embark on meditation, what is actually meant by meditation here. And that is to meditate on what we have, the topic we have been studying and reflecting on, with the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. That then is meditation. Meditation is stronger than reflection in that it is performed with a union of calm abiding and meditative insight. Then, this valid cognizer that was achieved through reflection based on hearing, this then becomes powerful enough to eventually attain enlightenment.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསྲ 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 གས
安的所说的呀，安发生的那些那个节约三八节约活嘞，现在节约三八发生的那没那所说的，但是确信个月份呢，这些呀，就是忙过活啊，这现在节约三八发生同样的这边节约三八节约吧，那安的现在缺些了，缺些的，安的这现在些罢了呀，他尊重过，但是你们这些干了，他节么，但是你们节嘛些话，节嘛些话了，那点不点那个尊重一处，现在尊重过活嘞。 这尊重的，要把这里面的先生们他们觉得缺席了，先生们的东西等第一主要了，控制呢，确信过了的，两年前信过了，就从控制呢，确有退吧就退别两年前，退呢断大给三么当，断大三么多，光不接不接，俺断了这个过了，然后说说说嚷嚷，断了这了，三九国防退吧了，退吧接，断大三么当，光不接不接，三九国防退过多，俺第二天先生们他们接三九国防退吧。
中国口味的宅急，三级国防了也接罢了，控制了也退就，等到三级，等到的光就接，两年之间三级国防都过。现在的那现在，现在什么经的东西，现在确定罢了呀？拍不住了呀？啊那啊，可是老百姓把过年来别情绪相当，得了尊重，得了特色公司，所以也会辛苦的呢，结果了。就是啊，得那个现役拍不住罢了呀？
但是，确实工作也不结果的，送个仓库多啊！让你上交国防投保嘞，就送个仓库多。现在东西在现在六点前，现在去年的结局，东西的账户接过来，现在我收拿来带过来，就送仓库多的。So there's an important point to make here, perhaps two. So here, with this motivation to achieve enlightenment for the sake of others. This is the mind of bodhicitta. It comes from the mind of special intention, and to give rise to this mind of special intention, this altruistic attitude, that will only come through intense effort on study and reflection and then meditation. So this sequence is specific. And for those of us as beginners, we are more in great need of hearing teachings, of hearing a lot of teachings. And at this beginning stage, when we are needing to gather a lot of knowledge, as well as reflect on that knowledge, although we are beginners, we also require this mind of joyous perseverance. Without this mind of joyous perseverance, our habits won't be challenged. Our habits will continue to dictate what direction we go in. And then thoughts such as, oh, I've heard teachings on this topic. I don't need to go to that teaching. That kind of habitual way of thinking will dominate. Or, oh, there's nothing new for me to hear in this teaching. I've heard it often enough. Or, if I were to receive this teaching, not so much benefit. I should rather do something else. These forms of laziness will continue to distract us. So therefore, joyous perseverance is required at the beginning. As we progress in our practice, we need these minds too, as at the end. But for where we are now, we need them, and we need them right now. We need to hear teachings and reflect on these teachings, and we need to do so with joyous perseverance. Then the second point to make here is we need to come to understand this sequence very well. And what we need to come to understand is every aspect of the Buddha Dharma in great detail, and reflect on it in great detail, and eventually then meditate on it, so that we can accumulate all the causes to arise as the Buddha. And this is important for our own progression. And as we gain experience of this, as we gain greater understanding of this, we will see the validity of this process. And then the key point, the second point to make, the key point then is to apply whatever understanding and realization we have to the situation that others find themselves in. Because the process that we as individuals need to go through to attain enlightenment is the same process that all the great masters, including the Buddha himself, went through, and is the same process that each and every single sentient being needs to go through. Every being, to attain liberation from suffering, not just ourselves, needs to understand the causes of suffering. Well, first of all, needs to understand suffering, then the causes of suffering. Suffering can be eliminated, and how to do so, and then apply this process. So we need then to make great effort ourselves, and we need to, as we gain experience, understand that this is the same process that others need to go through. So therefore, I need to develop myself so that I can guide others in the same way that I'm being guided. The verse then is concluded by reminding us of bodhicitta. May I bring living beings from samsara's ocean. So here, once again, we've been reminded of the need for this motivation, the motivation of the mind of special insight, which leads to the arisal of actual bodhicitta, the commitment to lead all sentient beings from suffering, and in order to be able to do so, to strive to attain enlightenment for their sake. So with this mind of bodhicitta, we commit to making continuous effort, powered by the mind of joyous perseverance, never allowing ourselves to be overcome by laziness, but to use our wisdom to make continuous effort for the sake of others. So this is the meaning then of the fourth line.
Tobalani,
This verse, Lama Tsongkhapa, is talking from his own experience that he generated the minds of love and compassion, wanting all beings to be freed of suffering and to abide in lasting happiness. And he didn't leave it at the mere aspiration that is the minds of love and compassion, no matter how powerful these are. He took responsibility for the welfare of others, which is the giving rise of the mind or special intention. And this then was developed to, from may I free all sentient beings from suffering, to the mind or body citta which encompasses, and therefore to do this I will become a Buddha. Giving rise to bodhicitta like this, he continued to receive teachings, to reflect and to meditate on these teachings. And so in this verse, he is explicitly encouraging us to do this. Because if we combine a sturdy ship together with a large sail that is always powered by wind, that is never becalmed, then we can be certain we'll quickly cross the ocean of suffering and attain enlightenment for the sake of others. But if any of those are missing, then the process is very slow. All three are required in order to be able to accumulate the causes to achieve the result. So one needs to, firstly in one's meditation, give rise to this wish to be liberated from suffering. And we've looked at that meditation in detail, but this is we need to give rise to this wish to be liberated from suffering. And then take everything that we have come to understand in that meditation and apply it to others. Because they are in the same position, wanting to be freed of suffering, but suffering continuously whilst being trapped in cyclic existence due to the cause of their afflicted minds, in particular that of the ignorance of self-grasping. No difference between ourselves and others, and seeing no difference between self and others, we engage in the cultivation of bodhicitta through perhaps the six causes and one effect method. In giving rise to the mind of bodhicitta, then it will be ever clearer to us that to become a Buddha for the sake of others, I need to develop the knowledge of a Buddha, and this is only done through continuously receiving teachings, reflecting and meditating on these teachings. And with this understanding, our joyous perseverance too is strengthened. And if we do this, then our meditation, we will see rapid change. Because for change to come, we require knowledge, and we need to accumulate knowledge repeatedly over a sustained period. And we can't leave this though as mere hearing. We need to repeatedly over a sustained period reflect on that. And in this way, we take this knowledge and we integrate it into our mind. We change our mind into a mind of the Dharma. And in this way, we rapidly progress to Buddhahood. And very quickly we'll see a change in our way of relating to others and the impact we have on others. Just to emphasize this point, all three of the components that are being mentioned in this verse are required. One requires this motivation of bodhicitta, which is based on study, reflection, and meditating, and it is powered by our the mind of joyous perseverance. And to give rise to bodhicitta and joyous perseverance, One needs to study, reflect, and meditate to continuously power bodhicitta until enlightenment is achieved. Study, reflect, and meditate. So all three, study, reflection, meditation, bodhicitta, joy, perseverance are required. And if we make great efforts in this, then we can be sure of progressing on the path, and we will experience change within ourselves, and we will experience the way we relate to others as changing, the way we deal with difficulties in life as changing. So all three of these are required to bring that about. Engaging in hearing, studying, and reflecting, giving rise to minds such as bodhicitta, always powered by the mind of joyous perseverance, then it goes without saying we'll be accumulating a huge store of virtue. Moreover, when we, through interacting with others, and through interacting with others powered by this motivation, we will be making further merit. So the merit comes not just in our overt religious practice, receiving teachings, reflecting on them, but merit will also come through the activities we engage in, physical and verbal activities, motivated by the minds we have cultivated through receiving teachings and reflecting on them. The very best way, as we heard previously, to help others, the very best way is to teach them the Buddha Dharma, because it is the Buddha Dharma that leads one to be able to identify the suffering and the causes of suffering and the path to eliminate it and to actualize that path. But in order to be able to teach the Buddha Dharma, one requires a lot of knowledge as well as experience, so that one can teach not just like a book, but to bring life through the lived experience of the teachings. So therefore, if one is unable to do that right now, to teach the Buddha Dharma directly, then don't despair. There is a lot that one can do to indirectly help others. So if we call teaching the Buddha Dharma the direct way to help others, because it is a direct way to enable beings to eliminate the causes of suffering and achieve the causes of happiness, if that's a direct way, there are a wide way of indirect ways we can help others. The very first is through cultivating the minds of the Buddha Dharma within oneself. This will be visible to others from the change in our behavior, the change in our presence, the change in our expression. So our mere presence will bring benefit to others. because of the change in our minds. So our first teaching to others would be our mere presence, just through our inner development. And then, because of the inner development, we will not just be calm and peaceful when we are with others, even in difficult circumstances, but the way that we relate to others will be transformed. And this will be expressed in a willingness and a skill in physically being there for others, helping others in a physical manner. It will be expressed in our way of verbally communicating with others. So in this way, we will bring great benefit to others. And they will experience this benefit and will reciprocate it through appreciation, through joy in our presence, etc. So in this way, we will have a direct impact on others, and they will appreciate what we are doing for them. They will appreciate the change that we have cultivated in ourselves. So in these ways, we will be able to be of great benefit to others. We may not be teaching them the Dharma, but we will be helping them in other ways. We'll be speaking to them in a kind way, perhaps giving them advice which is relevant in their lives. In this, in many ways, you'll be able to bring benefit to others. And when doing this, be aware of the impact you're having on others. Generate joy within yourself about the results that you have achieved through your own efforts. Generate joy within yourself about your own spiritual development. Generate joy within yourself about the benefits you are bringing into the lives of others. And make strong aspirational prayers that through this virtuous connection that you are creating with beings, through this may you continue to help them in ever more meaningful ways, life after life. And secondly, generate the heartfelt aspiration that may opportunities like these and others come my way where I can create connection with others and use this connection in ever more beneficial ways in this and all future lives. And this brings us to the fourth verse. As much as I excel in learning, as much as I give to others, as pure as my morality grows, as much as I become wise, by as much may I be empty of pride.
The
meaning of this verse is that we're certainly being encouraged here to in the previous verse, to engage in the practices of hearing, reflecting, and meditating. And if one does so, then you can be sure that through hearing teachings and reflecting on them, then if one does this repeatedly over a sustained period, change will come. And this change then will come in that, as you see in the first line, our knowledge grows ever broader. And moreover, our virtuous practices, such as generosity, and we can understand this in the terms of the wish to give, the wish to be of benefit, grows ever greater and more powerful within us. And thirdly, our ethics, these are also transformed. Our ethical way of thinking, meaning the way that we act, the way that we physically act, the way that we speak, our way of thinking becomes subdued and changed. And then our wisdom will, through all of this, our wisdom will be growing. In that our analytical development of the various topics of the Dharma that comes through greater knowledge, that has led to a greater wish to be of benefit to others, and has led to our ever greater ethical conduct, as well as our understanding of reality. These all will grow. These are then the results of hearing teachings and reflecting on them. At this point, though, there is, of course, the danger of pride arising within ourselves. And because we will see that what once was unknown to us is now known. What once others knew but we didn't, we now know. And we may well know more than many others, especially those who have not been engaging so much study and hearing of teachings and study on the teachings. And likewise, through the development of our other inner good qualities, such as the wish to help, the mind of generosity, and purer ethical conduct, then we may start to look down on others and see, oh, I'm someone special. I have followed the advice of the teachers. I've received many teachings, reflected on them, and I see change in myself, both in knowledge as well as the way I relate with others. And then it's very easy to see oneself in this puffed up way, see oneself as superior, and this pride then gets expressed through looking down on others, seeing the faults of others. This then, of course, is contrary to the minds we are trying to generate. This just leads to an ever greater grasping at our the qualities in our own continuum. This is contrary to the wish of liberation. And of course, it's contrary to the wish to bring benefit to others. So here the prayer that is being expressed: as much as I spiritually progress, by as much may my pride reduce.
三九个包脱包修三大为的，你等到那个三九个包脱包了，他南面两面切切，你三九个包脱不过的，人家伢南面两面切了，准确给他，给第一拿的被开心追寻我的准确中间三节，伢们几个是不是准确三大？第二个，俺那准确三大呢？第二个伢们切的里头的，伢们切了，俺那退吧，退吧，前面去，忙退啊，他忙我退吧，都退别掉了呀，三大，三大就。
公巴他吃巴的基因什么的，我第一样的样子我是什么大的，敌人给拉不起敌的。其实第二个样子就给他，然后就给什么大的，第二个然后就搞不了两个就都是呢，什么大去退啊的，什么什么转大的，什么搞不了公巴的，第二个，啊，但伢子几伢子工艺的几个月，但现在工资几个月还几个月生病，伢伢也接，伢伢有，其实第二个伢子嘛接吧，接伢子接嘛去吧去。 你现在在那同学大，那个地区，那些几个嘛嘞，其实我们都是呢，反正我也没教学生，没那么些，但你那三大的，但你那地那些呢，现在同学些的，我也跟你们那三节，啊，你那个三大，你们那呢，但你那呢，两个这个，但那个过来，这三大的，什么，啊，都落江下的，啊，都是你那个落江的，这三大过来才是中国话的。
And just to summarize what you've looked at today, seeing how to incorporate it within one's meditation practice. So it's been said previously, the first step in the meditation is to generate both joy and strength in our mind. And this should be done through going for refuge. And then having gone for refuge, then we go to the second point of the meditation, which is to reflect on the faults of cyclic existence, the sufferings that pervade samsara, giving rise to the wish to be freed of suffering. So that's the second point of the meditation. Then the third is the generation of bodhicitta. So that starts out by first developing a mind of equanimity to all sentient beings, abandoning this distinction that we make between beings. And we do this through first recognizing that at a meaningful level there is no difference between ourselves and others. There may be a difference there are differences on a superficial level, but we all share the same wish for happiness, the same wish to be freed of suffering and pain. We take this then and we can expand it into the six cause and one effect meditation, recognizing the relationship we have with all sentient beings, how in each and every previous rebirth we had a mother. And therefore we have a mother and child relationship with all beings. And in those relationships, in those lives, they would have shown us tremendous kindness. And we reflect on the kindness our mothers have shown us, and we can take this further to reflect that all beings, both directly and indirectly, show us kindness. We can observe the indirect way, but with analysis we can see the indirect way that sentient beings help us. And we think about the kindness that beings have shown us to give rise to this wish to repay the kindness. And that wish naturally follows when we see in a powerful way the kindness others have shown us. And that arisal of the wish to repay the kindness, this is a cause that leads to the result of the thought, how best to repay the kindness. And what others want is not merely their temporary suffering to be alleviated, but they want to experience lasting happiness. Beings may strive for temporary happiness, but the real wish is for lasting happiness, happiness that is never interrupted at all. This then leads us to the arisal of the mind of love. May all beings experience only happiness. And in order to experience happiness that is lasting, they need to be freed from suffering. This is the mind of compassion. May all beings be freed of suffering. And then, reflecting on this more deeply, we give rise to the mind of special intention. So what we're seeing in this process of these six causes is they each lead one to the other. There's this relationship of dependency, that one becomes a cause leading to the next, which is its result, which in turn is a cause leading to the next being its result. When we're reflecting on love and compassion deeply, how can this wish of may others experience happiness actually be realized? It can only be realized if beings accumulate the causes of happiness. They practice ethics, They develop a mind of wanting to help. So the mind of ethics is the mind not wanting to harm. The mind of generosity is the mind of wanting to help, being patient and so forth. That is how beings accumulate the causes for happiness. And so here we give rise to the wish, this is my responsibility to ensure that beings do this. The vast majority of beings do not know how to identify the causes of happiness. It is my responsibility then, because I know how to do this, it's my responsibility to guide them to achieve this. The companion mind, that of compassion, when you think about this more deeply, how do beings become freed of suffering? This is through identifying the causes of suffering, the afflicted minds, which all come from the ignorance of self-grasping, and then developing the antidote to that, the direct antidote of the wisdom realizing emptiness. So we, through our hearing and our reflecting, we have come to understand this, and we have some realization of this. And here, this mind of compassion then leads us to take responsibility for others, in that we have understood the sequence that leads to suffering, as well as the sequence that leads to liberation from suffering. Others are not in this position, they do not have this knowledge, and moreover they don't know how to train in this. I have this, I take responsibility to impart this to others. So here we give rise to the mind of special intention, this mind of taking responsibility for others. And then how to actualize this? Because now we have given wish to a sincere wish to actually be of benefit to others. But the reality is we don't have the skill. One, we lack knowledge. Two, we lack realization. And three, we lack the skill to be able to impart this to others in a way they can receive it. To overcome all three of these, we need to become the most skilled of guides, a being who has perfected all good qualities and completely eliminated all faults. And this is the rise of the mind of bodhicitta, where we commit to striving to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this brings us to the fourth point of the meditation, the practices that a bodhisattva engages in, the six perfections. So we've spoken briefly about these, so I'll just mention now the mind we've spoken about today, that of joyous perseverance. So here, we cultivate the mind of joyous perseverance through recognizing the need to continue to hear teachings and reflect on those teachings and meditate on these teachings. We need to continuously hear teachings of the Mahayana Dhamma and then reflect and meditate on them so as they arise within us. And we need to do so not sporadically, but repeatedly over a sustained period, and in order to do so, we need to be aware of the mind of laziness that leads us to prioritizing in an incorrect manner, that leads us to being drawn to worldly activities, that leads us to procrastination. So this is how we can generate the mind of joyous perseverance so as to overcome laziness. And then the last point to make was, so that would have been the fourth, then the fifth would be aspirational prayers. So here we have two new verses that we can use for aspirational prayers, in particular in the 12th one we've just looked at. To be aware, always be aware of the potential for pride to arise within us as we develop spiritually. And the way we can be aware of the arisal of pride is it manifests in looking down on others, in criticizing others. And these are minds that are contrary to both the attainment of liberation, because they strengthen our self-grasping, and it's contrary to the mind of bodhicitta. So therefore we generate the aspiration here in the fifth step to always be aware of pride and not come under its influence.
Choksha.
ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、ちょっと、
the verses then go on to now having come to meet a Mahayana Dhamma and given rise to the wish to study and reflect and meditate on the Mahayana Dhamma, then we need to do so without coming under the influence of minds such as procrastination and laziness.
Okay.
So just before we conclude, if you have some questions, then please do ask.